Hello, Savvy listeners, and welcome to episode 112 of the Savvy Girls Podcast. This is Deborah, and I am podcasting to you from New York, New York.
This is Melanie, and I too am podcasting to you from New York, New York.
We have a full show for you today. I am going to talk about my knitting and my spinning and my sewing and my whatever else. And Melanie is going to talk to you about
not knitting.
It would be nice if Melanie were knitting, but she's not doing much of that.
You don't know.
Oh, well, maybe we will talk
maybe
about
Maybe we
knitting.
Will talk about my knitting.
In the meantime, grab the candy that you stole from your kid's Halloween trick-or-treat bag, unwrap some chocolate bars, chow down, and
enjoy the show.
Enjoy this episode. And I say, hey, it's just an ordinary day, and it's all your state of mind. At the end of the day, you just got to say it's all right. All right, so Melanie said to me before we started recording that we seem to have a lot of new listeners lately, and that it would be a good idea to introduce ourselves, just for anyone who's new listening and who has no idea who we are or why the heck we're being so silly.
Exactly.
So why don't I start?
Sure. I assume we're being silly because of sugar.
Or because we're us.
Right.
Right. So I'm Deborah. I am a knitter. I also sew and I spin. And I have a day job. I don't talk about my day job very much on the podcast because I'm just trying to keep the two activities separate. I have been living in New York for the last year and a quarter. Before that, I was living in Bogota, Colombia for 2 years. And before that, I was in Buenos Aires, Argentina.
And we podcasted from all of those places.
And more.
And
yeah.
More.
So basically, my job requires me to switch countries once every 2 to 4 years. And because of that, that's why the podcast has been traveling along with me, really.
It's taken some unique geographical turns.
That is a good way of putting it.
Thank you.
My focus on the podcast really is knitting and fiber-related chit-chat. I do a lot of product reviews, and I really talk about what I've been working on and knitting stuff in general.
Okay, my name is Melanie. I am your sister,
mm-hmm.
In case you didn't know that.
That's right. I am your sister also.
Oh, hi, sister.
Yeah, hi.
I've been living in New York on and off since 2002. Wow, that's a long time.
That's a long time.
Gosh.
That's more than 11 years.
Wow. Wow. Anyway, I've been living here a long time. I'm a freelance professional vocalist. I sing opera. I sing cabaret music. I sing historic knitting songs. I am in shows all over the world. Pretty much I'm a performer. I perform a lot. So that's what I do. And I'm going to talk a bit about some things that are coming up when it's my turn. I guess this doesn't really count as my turn.
No.
No. And I've lived in New York, as I said, for quite a while. And before that, in Toronto and London, Ontario. And we're both from Edmonton, Alberta. So anyway, that's who we are. Okay, Deborah, your turn for an update.
All right. So I have a number of things to talk about. For my knitting, I have finished the sweater Ease, and it's a pattern by Alicia Plummer. It's basically a top-down raglan with a thick band of ribbing, one-by-one ribbing, around each of the wrists and around the, I don't know, what do you call it, the bottom of the sweater.
And you started it when we were driving to Toronto. So
I
two
did.
Podcasts ago you started this.
I guess I did. It started it a month ago, and I'm sure I've talked about it on the podcast a number of times.
Well, you were knitting it on the podcast.
Well, I know. So I knitted out of Cascade 220 in a very light blue, almost baby blue colorway. And I really wasn't sure of the color, and it was actually my first time knitting with Cascade 220. And it was a really good experience. I did a gauge swatch. I was very good about doing a gauge swatch, and I measured it.
My gerbils ate your gauge swatch.
Yes, I know they did. Melanie promptly took my gauge swatch and fed it to her gerbils, and they didn't eat it. They just chewed it up. They don't actually eat the
things they made a blue nest.
Yeah, they did make a blue nest. So I did a gauge swatch, and I measured my gauge swatch, and I got gauge. And then I looked at the pattern, and I think it said it had 3.5 inches of positive ease in it. So that's close to 4 inches extra fabric around. And obviously knitting has some stretch to it, so, you know, it stretches out a little, and I thought that would be very loose. So that was one factor that helped me decide what to do with what approach to take. And then the other factor is every sweater that I knit ends up too big on me, generally. So I always go down a pattern size or two in order to not have sweaters that are too big. So what I did in order to compensate for the significant amount of ease in the pattern named Ease, and for the fact that my sweaters end up too big, is that I went down two needle sizes and one pattern size. So I was taking a big risk that it would be way too small. And you know what? It turned out fabulously. I've worn this sweater more than I think I've worn any other sweater that I've knit. And I've only had it finished for about a week and a half.
Well, it's because Savvy Mommy usually gets your other sweaters because they're too big for you.
Sometimes she gets the other sweaters. Sometimes the sweaters turn out that they're not so flattering or they're not so comfortable. And this one, other than the fact that it's very warm, I think it looks good and it feels good and it's making me happy. There are two options for collars on the pattern. One of them is a very open neck. Kind of a deep neckline, and ooh, it's a little cold for that. And the other one is a very cute drawstring collar, and so it kind of stands up. It's a drawstring. There's a drawstring around there's kind of a stand-up collar with a drawstring, and that's the one I chose, and I love it. It's very casual looking, but I'm okay with that because it's, you know, I like a casual sweater.
And the string is an I-cord, right?
Yeah, the pattern actually called for a crochet chain, but I opted instead for an I-cord.
Ixnay on the O'Shea Craig chain.
One thing that I did do that the pattern didn't call for, after I finished knitting it, you knit the whole sweater and then you pick up stitches around the collar for the collar. And I was concerned that the collar would be much too big. And I was also unsure about picking how many stitches to pick up and making it match. I really was worried that the sweater was sitting very much too low on my shoulders, and, you know, it was almost big enough to be a one shoulder sweater, you know, the sweater that kind of hangs over a shoulder.
Like 1985.
Yeah, like 1985.
You almost made 1985.
So what I did is I actually did a crochet chain around the collar. I picked up stitches as I went, and I did a crochet chain, and that prevented it from stretching even further. It provided a little bit of, stability to the neckline. And then, of course, it was much easier to pick up stitches from the crochet chain and to actually see how many to pick up along the way. And that was basically the only modification I made.
It's beautiful. It is, I have to say, a beautiful sweater. You were going to over-dye it, though.
I was thinking of over-dyeing it, but I'm actually okay with the color. Actually, another thing that I did with it that I think that might be of interest is that the collar was actually turned hem.
Mm-hmm.
So where you knit to as long as you want it to be, then you do a purl ridge, and then you knit, I don't know, a couple inches longer. Then you turn it at the purl ridge so that it ends up being almost like, you know, when you sew, when you do a hem, it's turned under and then sewed up. So the pattern called for creating the turned collar, but then it wanted you to bind off and then just sew the collar down. And instead of that, I calculated, so let's say the hem was an inch and a half. I don't remember actually how much it called for the hem, but it was an inch and a half. So an inch and a half before I was supposed to do the purl ridge, and before the turn, I put in an extra, I use interchangeable needles.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what they're called.
Aren't they called that?
Interchangeable?
They're the ones where you can screw the little ends
on. Yeah, I completely blanked if that's the right word. Anyways.
All of you yell it at your computers or buses, respective workplaces.
So anyways, I used those needles. So after I finished around, I actually just threaded a very thin, I don't know, a size one needle or something through that row. And then I just left it hanging there. And then I continued knitting on my proper needle. And so when it came time to turn, so then I knit to the purl ridge, and then I knit beyond the purl ridge, the 1.5 inches to turn. I turned it, and then instead of binding off and sewing it down, I was able to actually just do a 3-needle bind off. I think it's tidier. So I'm really pleased with that. Moving on, I have been spinning, and in fact, the following yarn that I made is actually going to go in my swap petition package.
Ooh, someone is very lucky and or unlucky, depending
on how it worked out.
Yeah.
So I spun about 4 ounces of Tunis sheep, Tunis wool. It was yarn that it was a prepared, but not very commercially prepared. It was more rustic looking Tunis that I bought while I was in Canada. I forget the name of the place I bought it from.
Is it that place in Alberta?
Yeah, that didn't turn out to be a very professional place I bought from. But the fiber was fine. And I spun it into a 2-ply semi-worsted yarn. So it was, I kind of let the fibers enter the twist willy-nilly. I wasn't too exact in smoothing them out. But I still guided them through, and that's what makes it semi-worsted. 1-ply I did just plain, so I just spun it up in, you know, a fairly consistent weight. And then the other ply, I actually added beads. And this was the first time that I did any beaded yarn. And so basically what I did is I took size 6 seed beads, and I took little tufts of the tunis. This is before I spun it. And a tiny crochet hook, and I put the crochet hook through the bead, and I hooked on a tuft of fiber, and I pulled it through.
Is there another way to do it, or is that is generally how it's done?
I think that there are other ways to do it. You might be able to, you could actually put all the beads on afterwards, or feed that. I don't exactly know. This was the only way that I knew how to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I was spinning, then I would spin a little from my regular bat, and then I would spin a little, and then I would pick up a bead. So what would happen is that the twist would enter the fiber at the beginning of the bead, before the bead started, and then the twist would go through the bead and out the other end.
Ah.
And so I did that for all of the beads. The biggest problem with that is that it was a very stop-start type of spinning, because the beads actually didn't smoothly pass. They would go through the orifice, but then the beads would get stuck on one of the hooks and wouldn't wind properly on the bobbin. I would actually have to physically move the beads so it didn't get stuck on one of the hooks. So every time I added a bead, I had to stop, adjust, and then start again. And so it's not something I'm going to be spinning on a regular basis, because it didn't have that satisfying continuous movement.
So it's rare, and your swap partner is lucky.
Exactly. And then I plied the two together. And so it ended up being a DK weight 2-ply crisp white yarn with silver size 6 seed beads.
Wow.
Interspersed throughout. And I'm not sure exactly how much I ended up getting in terms of yardage, but it's enough to make something pretty. So I'm excited to put that in my swapetition package.
Nice.
I have also been sewing. I've sewed a quilt, my very first ever quilt. But I'm not going to go into super detail, partly because it's not a super detailed quilt. Essentially, and I may have talked about this in the past, but essentially what I did is I took quilting cottons. I had, I don't know, maybe it was 5 yards of quilting cotton in two different patterns, contrasting fabrics.
Mm-hmm.
And I basically just figured out how long I wanted my quilt to be. And so then I cut the entire length. Basically, I have two panels going in each one, on each side, and the panels, they're matching. So, and then to give it some extra width, I added a third fabric right down a strip right down the middle. So it goes, one side is green, so it goes green, if you're thinking across the narrow edge,
mm-hmm.
It goes green, and then a patterned yellow fabric, and then green again.
Are you going to take pictures?
Oh, yeah, maybe I should. And then on the other side, it's gold, and then the patterned yellow pattern, and then gold again. So it's basically just three strips going down. And then I had to bind it. And it was my first time making binding, but it involves cutting and sewing pieces together. And then I added the binding by hand. And it looks really good. Putting a binding on, I would say, is kind of similar to doing, say, an I-cord edge along a blanket. So it gives it that nice, rounded, finished edge. So I'm really happy with how it turned out. I finished hand-sewing the binding on last night. It was the hand-sewing that took so long. And then in order to make all of the sides stick together, because there's fabric, there's batting in the middle, and then fabric again, I added tufts. So I actually used a green yarn. It's not actually staying all that well, so I might swap it out for something else. But I just...
How is it not staying?
The knots are untying.
Ah.
Yeah, it's not... The knots are not staying in well. But I... basically, I just threaded an inch and a half piece. I threaded it through all the layers and then back up and then tied a knot. One side has just little dashes of yarn showing, and then the other side has the knots, the tufts showing. So that's what I've been sewing.
You're my busy sister.
My next knitting project, and I think actually tonight I might take the time to wind the yarn for it, because winding, you know, it's like when you, well, not when you go to the gym, not when I go to the gym either, but you know how they say that sometimes the hardest part of going to the gym is getting dressed and going, sitting in your car.
I wouldn't know.
Okay. So for me, winding yarn is one of the hardest parts. And like once I wind the yarn, then I'm well on my way to being done the sweater. But before the yarn is wound, then it's a block.
So are you going to make the exact same sweater in the exact same color to use up the rest of your pale
blue
yarn?
No, it's true. The pale blue yarn, the Cascade 220, I actually use less than half of what I own of it.
So your estimation of a sweater's worth is, in fact, two sweaters worth.
Yes. And so...
So all those yarns you got from Cascade in that shipment where you said you had a sweater's worth are, in fact,
two and sweaters. Some. Yes.
Okay.
Exactly. But I'm going to pick a different color because it's time, you know, because I don't knit that many sweaters.
Also, you don't like that color.
I don't love the color. But it's, you know, I want to have a second sweater. Next season, I'll knit myself another blue sweater.
Right.
But this season, I think it's, I don't want to have two blue sweaters and then nothing in any other colors. So I think I'm going to knit the pattern Tourist Sweater by my friend Jorge Locatelli. She's a friend of mine from Argentina. And the Tourist Sweater has kind of a high... Not a turtleneck, but kind of an open... It's not a turtle and it's not a cowl. It's somewhere in between the two. So it's kind of a stand-up, higher collar, but not really tight around the neck. And it has a lovely kangaroo pocket and buttons down the side of the kangaroo
pocket. Are you going to knit a little kangaroo to go in the pocket?
I don't think so.
Oh.
No. But I think it's a really sweet-looking sweater, and I'm excited to knit it. And now, given that my gauge swatch is gone, it's okay because I can use my entire sweater from Ease to measure my gauge.
Wait, so I'm going to have Wait. If you use your sweater to measure your gauge, can I give it to the journals?
No.
When you're done?
It's not a gauge swatch. It's a sweater.
It would make a really nice bed after they chew it all up.
Yeah. And I have a couple more things to talk about because you love it when I talk. I've been reading sewing blogs lately, and I know this is not a sewing podcast, but I think that I want to share it anyways. So one that I've been keeping my eye on is the Colletterie. I'm not sure exactly if you pronounce it in the French.
I don't know. It depends.
Colletterie.
Right?
It's from Colette Patterns. If you just Google Colette Patterns or Colletterie, you can get to that blog. It's kind of very librarian chic. The sense of style is... It's not exactly my sense of style, but I like seeing what they put together. So it's not all about sewing. Some of it is about fashion, but not high fashion. It's librarian chic fashion.
Okay.
And
like with sexy glasses and your hair up in a bun and then you take it down and sort of shake it out and you're like, wow.
Well,
let's go
like,
behind the reference stacks.
And like cardigans and just librarian chic.
Cute.
So I'm enjoying reading. They have tutorials. They have, you know, what's new this season. They talk about what different fabrics, just like we talk about what different fibers to use for different purposes. They talk about
we.
That. Yeah.
Do you mean we the knitters?
We or? The knitters. We the knitters. So that's one. Another one has been Sewaholic Patterns, and I really enjoy that website. Partly, and I think I mentioned it last week or the week before, the woman who writes the blog, Tasia, she's based in Vancouver, so there's a little bit of a Canadian element to it. And in addition to all of the sewing things that I learned from the blog, she identifies herself as being very pear-shaped. You can't tell, but apparently she can. And she talks a lot about dressing for her shape and making choices for her shape and what looks good. And I think that's why I can't tell that she's actually pear-shaped, is because she does it so well. And she has a little bit of an old-fashioned style, a little bit of a 1940s, 1950s style, and I like seeing what she puts together. And then the last blog that I'll tell you about is Sew Mama Sew. It's a very well-established blog. They put up a new post, I don't know, once a day, sometimes twice a day. But it's November, and November is my favorite month on Sew Mama Sew because they have handmade holidays. So every day in November, they pick a new category. So they'll say gifts for outdoor enthusiasts, or gifts for daughters, or gifts for bookworms. And so each, and then basically it's a roundup or a collection of sewing projects, craft projects, recipes, printables, gift ideas, all of those types of things. And in each day, it's a collection of these things related to whatever the theme of the day is. And it's kind of fun because it introduces you to new blogs and new ideas. And it also gives some gift ideas, which I really like. So those are the three blocks. And then the last thing to talk about is Swapetition.
Swapetition. Swapetition. Oh, I am overwhelmed. I think I've lost track of how much money I spent. I don't think I've gone over, but I don't even know anymore.
You don't even know? Well, I'm putting two boxes together. One of them is for a pet, and the other one is for a knitter or a person. And in each package, I'm putting handmade items because we said that had to be. And I'm trying to make it relate to the theme that winter is coming.
Totally forgot the theme.
Yeah. I'm focusing, but I have to admit my focus is more on what my swap partner would like and less so much on winter. And fun things that I find that aren't expensive, so I can fit as many things in the box as possible.
Well, we managed pretty well last week at Staples. No,
no, at Michael's. Yeah, Michael's, there was a 50% off clearance item sale, and I'm having fun with it. Oh my goodness, I don't want to tell you what I'm putting in the box. I think once I send the box in the mail, I can say what went into the box.
Right, right.
But I'm trying to, one thing that I'm intending to do is make a card to add to the box, and in the card I'm going to explain what's in there and why I added it.
Ah, that's smart.
Yeah.
So, the dogs can't read, though.
No, but the dog will get a card as well.
Ah.
And I think that's my update.
This is my winter song to you. The storm is coming soon. It rolls in from the sea. My voice a beacon in the night. My words will be your light to carry you to me. Is love alive? Is love alive? Is love?
All right, I have an update, but very little of it has to do with knitting. Should I start the knitting part? Just to get that over with, so I can get to the good.
Sure.
All right. So I'm knitting a mitten still. Still on my first mitten. It actually progressed quite a lot. I did the thumb.
That's what it's called.
Put on snap. No. When you take the thumb and you put it on a, not a snap, but it's sharp and it pokes you. Not scissors. Bobby pin. No. Safety pin. Safety
okay.
pin.
Okay.
So I got to the part where you put the stitches for the thumb.
You hold the stitches.
Yes. I got to that part. And I don't know when I should start binding down.
Decreasing?
Yes.
Well, once it's long enough.
No, I don't mean that. I don't know when I'm supposed to start the subtle pointy, but I don't want it pointy. I hate talking about knitting. I'm clearly not good at it anymore.
Okay, you need to finish it. So you start it depending on how pointy you want it. If you want it
I don't want it pointy. I want it
subtle. So
if you want
it to be rounded, then you start it maybe an inch before your fingers end.
I also don't know how to do it so it's not pointy. We'll have to talk about that. Okay. Maybe not now.
We can talk about it.
So I've been making up this pattern as I go. Unfortunately,
not that you can tell at all based on her description of what she needs to do.
The problem is I haven't written it down. So the second mitten will be a little more interesting, I think. By interesting, I mean stressful.
And not matchy.
No, it's totally going to match.
Okay, I have faith in you.
I realized I wish I had a way to put a button on them, because I think I would love a button on them, but I just don't think it's going to work this time. I actually lay in bed last night, and I know exactly what button I would like to put on these.
You can put it on the cuff. You could add a little tab to the back of them.
Yeah, I think I need to start them again to have a tab, so I think the next mittens I make will...
You don't have to start them again to have a tab.
Well, I'm not going to start them again. I mean, this took...
You just pick up stitches and
I've been working on this since July.
Oh, God.
I know.
Okay.
I wanted them done for November. It's November now.
It's November now.
So, yeah, that's my knitting. Boring. Okay, Swapetition. So, we had two people join a couple days ago.
And it is well beyond the join limit.
I think the join limit was the 10th of October. It was, I think, October 29th when the last two people joined.
I think it might have been the 20th of October.
No, it was the 10th.
Okay.
Because we had people join on the 16th, and I remember thinking you're late, but that's okay.
Well, we're happy to have new joiners.
Yeah, come join. If you still want to join, we'll figure it out somehow.
Melanie's been doing a fabulous job organizing this.
It's so stressful.
Melanie, people write to Melanie basically every day, sometimes multiple times a day, saying, I don't know if my swap partner likes...
Tea.
Or I don't know
Cats.
If she likes... yeah. And so then Melanie has to go and ask people... Anyways, it's funny. And then other people come, and there's always some kind of swapetition
drama
activity. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
So
for me to watch her doing all the work.
If you are participating in Swapetition and you need help, do ask. Ask. If your swap partner has not posted anything yet, I can't follow everybody, so ask, and I will harass them.
Yes.
And
don't forget to put your swap package together and get it in the mail by the end of November.
Yes, yes.
And the theme is winter is coming, and this is a contest, so make your package really good.
And we realize we haven't actually said what the prizes are for. That's because we don't know yet.
Well, there is going to be... Yeah, we actually haven't decided on the prize categories yet, but it's going to have to do with being creative and being fun and being playful and putting together awesome packages. So, you know, just do your best and then we'll figure out who should win once it's over.
So, yeah, I'm working on my package. Actually, I'm putting together 3 packages because, like I said, to keep it so people could join late, I needed 2 people because I want it to be round robin, so I need to be able to swap it out. At this point, things are getting pretty... I'd say they're not general packages anymore.
They're getting specific.
They're getting specific for these people, so I'm getting kind of excited. Oh, and the animal.
You have 2 people and a pet swap.
And a pet swap. And I'm excited. I'm having fun with it. I really am. I've never gotten to shop for cat things before.
Are you having fun doing it?
Well, I felt really weird buying cat things because, you know, the person at the cash register is like, how's your cat? I'm like, I hate cats.
You don't hate cats.
I mean, they're okay.
They're all right.
So, yeah, no, the Swapetition's been going, it's been going interestingly. I don't want to just talk about it because I know people aren't participating, but we will do this again unless it's an utter and embarrassing failure.
How many participants do we have?
We're up to 81, I think, now.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much, everyone who's participating for participation.
81.
And please...
That's like all of our listeners.
It's pretty much everyone. Not really.
No, not at all.
But please don't exceed the $30 limit for your human package.
Unless it's for me.
And the $10 limit for your animal package. But you can be creative in using... we just don't want people to overspend, especially as the holidays are approaching. Yeah. And money shipping can be tight.
And shipping can be expensive overseas. So it can be small and creative.
That's true.
I'm just saying. You could always order someone maybe a gift card from their country so you don't have to ship it.
But you know, Melanie and I are having so much fun putting our packages together. We were actually thinking of, instead of just buying kind of for the people we normally give gifts to for the holidays.
Like our mom.
Yeah. Rather than just buying a gift and popping it in the mail, we were actually thinking of putting together a package, a swap package, basically.
I wonder if Savvy Bro would like that.
I'm sure he would. Savvy Bro's participating.
That's. I wonder how he's doing. We should call him up.
We should call him and ask him. Now, you were saying that your Swapetition was disappointing you.
It was?
Well, because you were reading the threads and people were talking about what they were putting together in their packages and you felt sad.
I did?
Yeah, because you were telling me, because you were listening, you were looking at what people were putting in.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, that one person said she was going to Mexico, and then your friend is in India, and all these people are, and I got so excited. I said, oh, this person's knitting a thing, and this person hasn't done any holiday knitting because it's just for the package, and this person's going to Paris to buy a bunch of stuff, and I can't wait to get it all.
And then it's like, wait a second, it's not all coming to me. Oh, sissy.
That was a sad moment when I realized these weren't all presents for me, that other people will actually get presents. But I guess it's better to give than to always give to me. Right?
Well, sure, whatever.
It's going to be fun. I'm excited to get my package. I like the person who has me. I'm the only one who knows who has them. So I'm excited to get my package from the person who has me. I am excited to send my packages. And I'm excited to see what you get. And what Savvy... I'm really curious what Savvy Bro will put together.
Yeah, you know, I'm excited for Savvy Bro to get a package, but I'm more excited to see what's in Savvy Bro's package. Savvy Mom was telling me the other day that she was talking to Andrew about learning to knit.
Oh,
to make something to put in his package.
Oh,
and I think there might be a plan to get together. So this might be a very special package he puts together.
His might be the one and only thing he ever knits.
It might be. So whoever Andrew has, consider yourself lucky.
So last night was Halloween.
Yes, it was.
What did you do on Halloween, Sissy?
Nothing. I really did. I moped in bed all day.
Okay.
Well, I wasn't feeling great. I had a headache yesterday, and you know, it was a work night. So I really didn't do anything for Halloween. What did you do?
I went to the Greenwich Village Halloween parade, actually. I was dressed as a witch because I thought it was time to get classic. Unfortunately, people didn't want to take pictures.
No. Because you had a witch hat that you found on sale. Oh, That's why you dressed as a witch.
Okay, okay. I have this witch hat I bought on sale last May. Seemed timely. And it's just this awesome hat with a big old skull. And it's huge. And it's the best witch hat ever.
It's fairly glorious.
And I had totally forgotten about it. And I was planning on zombie. And then I remembered, hey, I have this witch hat. So I was a witch. And I went with my friend who rented a King Henry VIII costume and his friend who dressed as the Queen of Hearts. More people took pictures of them.
Except more... You're famous.
Oh, yeah, except... Well, yeah. The way it works in the parade is that people... Anyone can join this parade. So you go to Greenwich Village on Halloween, you line up for about half an hour, 45 minutes, very uncomfortable, oppressive crowd. But then you get in the parade. So you walk, 30, 35 blocks, and thousands of people take pictures of you, and if you're popular, people will call you over, and it's so much fun. Unfortunately, more people, as I said, took pictures of Chad and his friend than took pictures of me. However, I did get stopped by an Associated Press reporter, and he asked me what I thought of the whole parade, and I gave him some quotey quotes, and I was reprinted in most of the newspapers across America today, so I'm feeling famous.
Yeah, you were in how many different newspapers?
Probably a couple dozen.
That's fabulous. That's exciting.
My quote? I mean, I'd prefer to be in there because I'm awesome, but being in there is...
Because you have awesome things to say is also good.
And, you know, they talked about my witch costume, so mm-hmm. I feel very written up.
Yes, you were written up.
Not in a police report way, but
not in that kind of way.
Yeah, I mean...
You didn't get arrested.
I mean, in the end, I scored. I mean, may have gotten more pictures, but I got my quote.
All over the place.
All over the place. So that is that. What is the next thing I want? Oh, dating.
Okay.
Oh, gosh. So, sis, I've been going on dates.
How is that going?
Not well.
Tell me all about it, sissy.
Well, I had started to talk about it on the other podcast. I'm at date 13 this fall. I just finished date 13.
Holy moly.
I'm not going to go into specific details about all of them. They've all been bad. I mean, on two of them, it was the guy's first date since their divorce, which is cool. I mean, it's good to get back out there, but... It's a little uncomfortable when someone says they've been out of the dating world for, say, 20 years.
Ooh.
And you're their re-entry back into the dating world. It's a lot of pressure, and it's not exactly what I'm looking for. It's not at all what I'm looking for, so that's awkward. There was the guy who talked about comic books for 3 hours.
Oh, God.
I actually enjoyed the conversation.
Okay.
We talked about Walking Dead, and, I mean, it was fine, but it wasn't much of a date. But, I mean, that's... I've gotten most of these dates streamlined to coffee because after spending a couple really interminable, unending evenings, I thought that, hey, let's just make them all coffee. I think the worst date... I have to talk about two dates specifically.
Okay.
The worst date for me and the worst date for him.
Okay.
So the worst date for me, it was with an actor. And I can guarantee he's not going to listen to this because it's not about him. And unless this podcast was called, you know, the... actor, this particular actor podcast, he's not going to listen.
Right, exactly.
Because he started every sentence with the word I. Everything. He started name dropping as soon as we met.
What kind of name dropping? Were they people you knew?
No, people in the industry. Whatever. I mean, he's a movie actor. He's been in a lot of movies. He was in The Sopranos. That's not a movie. Fine. But he's been in Sex and the City. He's been in a whole bunch of movies. And usually it's like guy on the street corner.
So he's a...
Better than an extra.
Featured extra?
Usually a featured extra, or he gets a credit,
but not
a name. His character won't have a name. And he told me he was 36, and he sent me his demo reel from 4 years ago.
Okay.
He did not look 36 in this demo reel. He looked a lot older. So anyway, we met at Magnolia Bakery, and we were sitting there, and he went on and on and on about how the guy, Hank Azera from The Simpsons... was his best friend, and they had gone to school, blah, 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 blah. In walked Hank Azera.
Had he been talking about Hank Azera before?
Yes, he had been talking about him all evening.
Are you serious?
And how they had been in a play together, and how they had been... Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
It was actually really one of those New York random moments. So
I didn't know he had actually been talking about...
He had, and then in walked Hank with his eye candy. He's dating a little 31-year-old.
Okay.
Very cute.
Did he talk to Hank?
Yeah, he said, oh, there's Hank! And he... ran over like a puppy to say hello to him. Hank asked him, I could hear this because they were about a meter, that's like a yard for you Americans, away from me. And they said, Hank said, are you on a date? And this guy's like, yeah, I'm on a date. Everyone looks at me, nobody introduces me.
Oh my goodness.
It was so awkward.
That's rude.
Hank Azera is the guy who does all the Simpson voices, like Apu and I think Like, most of the Simpson voices he does, and it would have been cool to actually meet him. It was cool to almost meet him. But this guy, he kept talking about how he had been in school with Hank and how good he looks for 49, and I was like, wait a minute. If Hank is 49, you're not 36. And he said, you got me, I'm 43. And that would have been okay, but just don't lie.
Just don't lie about it.
I know you're an actor, but you don't look 36, dude. Your eyebrows are... They're gray.
But it's, no, that's awful. And it's not like, oh, you caught me. It's like, oh, I was lying to you. One of the three things you know about me, which is the city I live in, my age, and...
Your picture, essentially.
My picture.
One of them was a lie. Yeah. So it didn't go well. I mean, it was a really long evening. I'm trying to eat really healthy, and they started giving away free cookies at the end of... That was the worst part. When the Magnolia staff came over and said, here's a tray of 2 dozen cookies, take as many as you can carry. And he started stuffing them in his mouth and pockets, and I was like, oh, I'm okay. I'll take 2 for the road. Yeah, that date wasn't great. So there was that. And it's just hours. These dates are hours and hours of sort of... putting yourself out to talk to somebody, and it's never a good conversation.
It's hard work.
And really, there are very few times where we talk about, you know, where are you from? What are your core values? Do you want kids? We talk about comic books and actor parties. They're weird. The conversations are very different and very weird.
Okay.
But the worst date for him was the other day. I had my friend Allison Acrobat. She's an acrobat, in case you didn't guess.
That's why Melanie calls her Allison Acrobat.
Yes, she came in town to buy spandex, because she buys several hundred yards of spandex a year to make acrobat costumes and such. So she came to New York to buy spandex, and I met her, and she was going to a book reading later, and she invited me to go along with her and her acrobat friends. Except I had already planned a coffee date with this guy from Atlanta. So I didn't want to leave Allison, and so... I invited him along with us.
Okay, so you invited the stranger to come out with you and your friends.
Yes, I did. And he handled it pretty well, I have to say.
Did he? That must have been overwhelming. Your conversations are normally a little bit racy when you get together with your acrobat friends.
Right.
How did he handle that?
He handled it surprisingly well.
Oh, I'm glad that he was able to hold his own.
He tried. I mean, he did his best. He held his own as much as anyone could hold their own.
He was a good sport.
I mean, I can't hold my own in those conversations. Okay. So he did very well. He was a really good sport. I'm not interested in him. I don't plan to see him again, but it was a way more interesting date. It was a date with 5 people. I wish I could always do that. Just throw someone in with a bunch of your friends and see how that goes.
That sounds awful. To be the person thrown in.
Yeah, but it was, ugh. So anyway, I'm supposed to go on another couple days.
I need a nunnery. Get thee to a nunnery.
I would, but I don't have a metro pass.
Oh, good point.
All right, so there's that.
You have a show coming up?
I have several shows coming up. Is it okay if I talk about that?
I think you should.
All right. So I have, over the next several months, I've got so many shows and stuff coming up, which is good, because I'm an actor. That's what we need.
Actress.
So I am singing in January. I'm singing in Spokane, Washington. That's far.
That's a long time from now, too. Are you going in reverse order?
I'm going in whatever comes to mind.
Okay, so January.
January, in... Spokane, Washington, the day before my birthday.
Okay.
I guess I'll be flying home on my birthday.
I guess so.
I will be singing in Chesterfield County, Virginia.
Well, wait, what are you doing in Washington?
Oh, I'm doing my Edith Piaf show.
Okay, and is that for...
For a college. I think it's Spokane College.
Can people buy tickets, or is that a closed show?
I don't know.
Okay.
I assume they can. Honestly, I don't know, but I can find out. I will let people know closer to the date.
Okay.
I'm not exactly... Okay, the next one's in Chesterfield, Virginia. It is about 100 and some miles south of Washington, D.C., I think.
And when is that? Also January?
That is March 1st.
Okay.
I'm doing something at a school there. I don't think it's open to the public. I might try to set up another thing there. I'm pretty excited. I'm going to Virginia.
That's fun.
I don't know how they talk there.
No, I think you'll find out once you get there.
Yeah, so that's in March. I'm also going back to Fresno. I'm doing 3 performances in Fresno, so...
When is that?
That is also in March. It's a week after Virginia. Things are getting busy.
Getting
busy. So I'm going there.
What are you doing there?
I'm not sure yet. I might do this show I did in Edmonton, or I might premiere my new show for next summer.
But that is open to the public.
That is open to the public. It's part of the Rogue Festival in Fresno, as usual.
So the
usual.
Rogue is a play festival, right?
It is a theater festival. I usually do 5 or 6 shows, but because of the Virginia one, I can't. It cuts into the festival, so they were kind enough to let me come for just the second half. So I guess it'll be around the 6th, 7th, 8th, I suppose. I don't have my dates yet. I will be performing in Fresno. Oh, I was invited to be in the Prague Fringe.
Oh, exciting.
Yay! So I'm going back to Prague, and again, I'm doing 9 performances of my Edith Piaf show in their Fringe, if you happen to be in Prague. I'm also doing a bunch
of... When is that?
May.
Okay.
I think it's May 20th to the 29th or something like that.
So mid to end of May.
Yeah. Beginning to mid of May, I will be singing other concerts in Prague and possibly other places in the Czech Republic. And I got a part in a show this summer. Not my show, somebody else's show. I'm touring my show, my new show, which I have yet to write, and this show. This is going to not be a musical. It's a choose-your-own-adventure show, and I'm in it.
That's fun.
And I get to have a Southern accent. I can't wait.
You have to learn how to do a Southern accent.
Right.
Right.
You don't like my accent?
No, it's not Southern.
Right.
You've missed something important.
My upcoming show here in New York.
In New York.
Now, I'm really, really, really excited about this show. This is November 20th. It's a Wednesday. It's at 9:30. It is at the Metropolitan Room. It's my cabaret debut in New York. Tickets are only $25. They're not so bad. Come and see me. If you live in New York, tell your friends.
Please tell your friends.
It is hard to get people out to something in New York. People don't go to things.
There's so much choice.
And it's a weekday, and I really, really am hoping to get people to my show.
That would be great.
Any other city, it's not usually as much of a problem. But New York, it is always a problem.
Well, there's so much that goes on that people are very selective and also don't necessarily like to go out on work nights.
Exactly. I'm a really great singer. Come see me sing Piaf.
How do people get tickets for that?
You go to the Metropolitan Room website. It's called the Metropolitan Room. You look it up. You go to the website. We will put it in the show notes, too. I know some of you live in New York. Come on. Your friends. Come on. You can knit. How's that? You can knit and I won't heckle you because I'll be busy doing my show.
That would be great.
And I also have performances before then, actually, in about a week and a half. I'm going to Cape Cod and to Bryn Mawr and performing there. The one near Cape Cod is actually open to the public. It's an evening show. So if you live around there, I will post that. It's at Tabor Academy. So I don't know what city exactly that is in.
But look it up.
Look it up if you are near Tabor Academy.
And when is that again?
It is on the 15th or 14th. It's on the Thursday.
Of November. Okay.
So it's it's coming up. It's coming up. A lot of performances, a lot of singing things. And my knitting CD. Thank you, Natalie Nasser. You and your husband got me my knitting music from the British Museum. I can finally finish...
British Library. So you had a variety of sheet music that they had only at the British Library, and you had to send someone to go get it for you in order to get it,
send someone's husband to go get it for me, and I have it now. I went there and was turned away.
Because you didn't have ID?
I didn't have enough ID. I went there 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. I tried to get it. Another friend, SA Choir Girl, tried. She tried so hard to get it for me, and we almost got it.
Through interlibrary loan.
Yeah, that didn't work. I mean, the British Library was being very, very difficult. But in the end,
Saved by a listener's husband.
Saved by a listener's husband, who, I doubt, is a knitter.
And I imagine not.
So I am doing the last vocals in the next couple weeks on this CD, and hopefully it'll be out by Christmas.
Whoa, that would be great.
That would be cool. So, I think that's everything with me, except, I'm getting in shape.
Oh, good for you.
I'm trying to get in shape. I've been biking. Today was about 4 miles. I'd say between 4 and 10 miles a day.
Great.
It's interesting to see New York by bike. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, all right. It's a different way to see New York by bike.
It's not a big island.
No.
It's easy to get. I mean, if you're going from tip to tip, it's big, but... It's fairly easy. You know, once you're on a bike, the streets go by really fast.
Exactly. Something that could take an hour and a half to do, like a subway and a crosstown bus and walking in another bus, is maybe 35 minutes on the bike. So as long as the weather isn't too vile, this is great. I love...
And as long as traffic isn't too scary.
And as long as no one steals my bike.
Right.
I'm really hoping no one steals my bike. But biking in New York is a delight. It makes me happy in the way nothing else makes me happy. exercise-wise.
Exercise-wise.
I feel the burn, people.
And you like the burn.
I'm better at it, though, hey? Not than you, but than I was when we started.
Oh, definitely.
Tell everyone.
Oh, well, there's one hill that in order to get to our place.
To get from the West Side Drive.
To get from the bike path to our place, there's a significant hill. It's a two-part hill. Ooh. And I am able to get up it. It takes some effort, but I'm able to get up it. But Melanie has been not able to get up it. Well,
they were tears, almost.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy hill.
I had tears on my forehead because it was so hard to do.
You know, when we're different people and we kind of have different natural athletic abilities. So it's fine. I mean, but Melanie was struggling with it. And the other day we were cycling together and she just right up that hill, no stopping, no tears. I was so proud of her.
No tears. So yeah, I guess that's what I'm up to. It's a lot of things.
That is.
So yeah, that is my update.
I still believe in summer days. The seasons always change and life will find a way. I'll be your harvester of light and send it.
So Melanie, in her performances, she needs to wear a costume, obviously. And her costume has to be, what, 1940s style, glamour?
For my Piaf Brel show, yes. Yeah.
French style.
We're going for 1950s Parisian dress for my Piaf Brel show. And I had one made. And
it is silk?
Yes.
The fabric was not inexpensive.
It was really, this dress cost a lot of money and it was a horse.
She had it made by a costume maker.
A costume maker I did not choose and who did a horrible job.
Pretty much.
She did a bad job. Can you talk about the no muslin thing?
Oh, yeah. So, first of all, the fabric choice wasn't right. She gave Melanie instructions on what fabric to buy, a silk taffeta. And when Melanie performs, she's normally traveling, and silk taffeta, it wrinkles like a wrinkly beast.
I was thinking of a word I shouldn't use on the podcast.
No, yeah, it wrinkles like a wrinkly beast. So this thing, Melanie so much as looks at it and it gets wrinkled. And also, so she cut directly from the fabric. She took Melanie's measurements from a distance. So actually, she
not like you
them.
Over there.
Yeah, no, she had Melanie send Melanie her measurements.
Actually, that's not true. I was in New Orleans and I went to her house and she measured me.
Okay, so she took Melanie's measurements.
She didn't take them.
And then when Melanie sent her the fabric, and then this woman just cut directly into the fabric and sewed up the pattern and didn't do a muslin. And if you're not familiar with it, a muslin is a test. It's kind of like doing a gauge swatch in knitting. But basically, you don't do the whole thing. So you can do a whole version of it. But normally the idea is if it's say, a dress with a wide skirt or a skirt, you don't have to do the skirt if the skirt is easy to fit. If it's kind of like a swirly skirt, you don't have to worry about the skirt. But basically, it's so that you get the darts in the right place.
They weren't.
It's so that you get the body length correct. And your muslin, it's cheap fabric, and it's your chance to try it out. And if the fit isn't right, you can cut it and sew patches on and write on it. And it's so that the when you cut it out of your expensive fabric, so that it actually fits you properly. So this woman did Melanie's costume. The darts were in the wrong place. The fit was terrible. And we ended up refitting it for Melanie.
When we were in Minneapolis.
We went to Minneapolis and went to a fabric store there. And the woman in the fabric store was wonderful and helped fit it properly to Melanie. And then Melanie sent it back with the changes to the dressmaker, and she ripped out the darts and put in new ones, and you know, she made the changes, but unfortunately the fabric was not forgiving, so you can see the stitch lines where the darts used to be, and it's a hot mess.
It is. I mean, it looks okay from a distance for about 5 seconds till it wrinkles.
And it's not lined, and when you're paying $300 for a dress out of expensive fabric, you'll line it. Anyways, so I actually hadn't seen it over the summer when you were using it. And when I saw it and Melanie put it on here, I was actually appalled and suggested to Melanie that maybe we should sew her a new one. And since I'm sewing garments lately, and since there are really good courses on Craftsy that will help me refine some of my fitting skills, we determined that I was going to sew her a new dress.
You're so nice.
Yeah. So the pattern that was originally used for her disaster dress, it's actually not a disaster. It's just, I'm just upset with how much
you can cost. See the darts. You can see where the old darts were taken out. It's just not very...
You can see the stitch holes, and it's not a good job. And the fabric wasn't the right choice. So I don't have the pattern that she used, and Melanie already has a dress using that pattern. And the dress is usable. Not perfect, obviously, but usable. So we decided we would find a different pattern so Melanie could have a different dress in a different fabric in a different color. So we were searching for choices, and I sent Melanie maybe 15 different things that I found online, and I actually didn't think that any of them were going to be what she wanted. Melanie has a firm view of what she wants to wear and what looks good on her, and she...
But one of them was that thing.
One of them was, and in fact, it's a Vogue pattern. I saw a sample on it on the blog, Gertie's blog for better sewing, and I think actually... Gertie, or I'm not sure if her name is Gertie, actually, but the person who writes the blog actually has a craftsy class, a bombshell dress craftsy class, where she teaches you how to make a bombshell dress. But this one is, I'm just going to grab the pattern, because once we found the dress, we purchased it.
Look how we own a pattern, like it's 1952.
It is. So this is lined below mid-knee or below mid-calf dresses. Fitted bodice, back neckline that is lower than front, and 3/4 or full length sleeves. Flared skirt had side seam pockets and back zipper. And then purchased petticoat and belt. It's great. It's the look you wanted, basically, as it said, fitted bodice.
We're going to have to change it a little bit.
Wider skirt. We're going to change the neckline a little, so because at this point it's almost more of a boat neckline where it's a little bit high, but it's your bra straps would show. It's
a little wide. I want a princess neckline.
What is that?
I don't know. I'll draw it for you.
You mean you want it like the heart?
No, I just want it like my other... Yeah, a little bit like... Yeah, like that a little bit.
Okay, we'll see
maybe.
If I can do that.
But the most important point is the sleeves. I don't love the sleeves here. We need to shorten them. That shouldn't be hard.
Melanie wants, let's say, 1/3 length sleeves.
Yeah.
That's super easy.
Also,
Melanie wanted sleeves, and it's not easy to find a dress pattern that has sleeves in the style she wanted. So I'm really pleased with that. And then we went fabric shopping on fabric.com, and we ended up getting a stretch taffeta. But not in silk. We actually went for the polyester version.
First, it was so cheap.
So much cheaper. So, so, so much cheaper. And second of all, it's easier to wash. And it doesn't wrinkle in the same way. I'm going to line the dress, partly because that lining makes a dress sit nicer. And frankly, also because...
If you sweat, you don't see it.
Yeah, it'll help with the sweat.
Not that I'm a super sweater, but you're on stage.
Yeah, and when you're under lights, you sweat. And you don't want it to show through your dress. One thing that I kept in mind when choosing the lining, most of the linings are polyester, and polyester is kind of plastic. It's kind of like acrylic.
Mm.
I don't actually know the chemical differences between the two, but it's not a breathable fabric. And so I wanted to line it with a breathable fabric so that Melanie would have a little bit of breathing going on. But I also, when you're lining something, you want to pick a fabric that has similar washing instructions. And that also, if they're stretched, that has a similar amount of stretch. Because if I used a stretch fabric but a non-stretch lining, then it wouldn't work. So the fabric, I think, has a 20% stretch. And so I was trying to find something with a significant cotton content, a very light fabric with a similar amount of stretch in the right color. And thankfully, I found they had exactly the amount that I needed to line the dress. And so it's a shirting fabric, a thin, I think that's 50% cotton, 50% rayon stretch shirting. And I've been taking the Craftsy class. I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's a fitting class on Craftsy. And this is the first paid class that I've actually almost finished. My other paid classes, I've watched a little bit. But this is one I'm watching it beginning to end. And then I'm going to go back and rewatch the parts that I need, because it's showing you how to fit a muslin, essentially. So you sew up the muslin, you put it on, it shows you how to look for fit. You use the grain lines, etc., etc., etc. I don't want to go into too much detail, because this is not a sewing podcast. But
Melanie gets a dress.
But hopefully Melanie will end up with a dress at the end, and I will be sure to, we'll be sure to take pictures.
Yeah, and so that's it.
Yeah, I think that's all having to do with that. Oh, no, the petticoat.
Oh, the petticoat. All right. Well, we needed a petticoat.
Well, we didn't have the pattern yet. We didn't know what the pattern would be, but we assumed we would need a petticoat.
Right.
And we were actually fabric shopping.
Well, yeah, we were in the garment district fabric shopping and getting stuff with Swapetition packages, because that's most days, it feels like.
Yeah.
And we were in a store, and you spotted this giant, giant petticoat.
So the thing is that the store was closing, and things were on for 50% off, and there was almost like a flamenco dancer type petticoat. So it was two layers with lots of frills.
Not crinoline.
Not a crinoline. That's right. It was a petticoat and not crinoline. But it was very substantial. And it was too long for Melanie. But
what so, isn't?
So we took it home and decided that it was too big for Melanie's petite frame. So there were two layers of frills. And so I've separated the two layers. I've picked them apart, so I've picked out the stitches and removed them. So Melanie's going to actually end up with two petticoats at the end of two different lengths. I removed the elastic in it had crumbled. It was old and it had crumbled, so I removed the elastic. And then I bought fabric, it's called shapewear. So basically it's like underwear shapewear fabric.
Nice.
And I'm going to rebuild the waist area. So basically it's from your mid-hip downwards.
I'm super excited.
We have. And then I just need to create the hip and waist area. But I don't want to do that until I know how long your dress will be, because then I'll measure it to your dress. And then the second one, I imagine, either I won't make right away or I'll make it and I'll make it longer. So you have two choices. Maybe one where your petticoat doesn't show and one where the petticoat does.
Sis, I'm super excited about all that.
So, but I have to get working on it this weekend.
Well, we will do that this weekend. Yay. Hopefully it's rainy and there won't be as much impetus to go out.
I'm never interested in going out when I could be at home working on my projects.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay, with that, we will go so you can go work on your projects.
Okay, I'm going to go wind some yarn.
It's neat and it's sweet, it's a ding-dong treat. Little socks for little feet. Just sitting with your knitting all day long. You know, knitting's friendly and knitting's fun.
Knitting's good for everyone, and that is why we sing this knitting song.
With knit one, purl two, what's a knitter gonna do with a gall? Darn, ball of yarn, and stitch three, drop four, pitch that knitting out the door right now.
You have been listening to episode 112 of the Savvy Girls Podcast.
Thank you so much for tuning in. If you would like to reach us, you can contact us through our website at www.savvygirls.ca. That's SAVVYGIRLS.ca. You can find us on Facebook under the Savvy Girls Podcast. You can find us on Twitter under Savvy Girls PCast. And of course, you can find us on Ravelry. I am Savvy Girl Deborah, and Melanie is Savvy Girl Melanie. I hope you're having a wonderful November and that the rest of the month continues to be great for you. Next episode, we will talk more about Swapetition. We will have another full show. I don't know exactly what's going to be on it yet, but it will be great.
Great.
And
tend to your knitting,
kitten.
Would look silly without lime green stripes.
Well, don't shout.
I'll shout if I want to. And do you know why?
Why?
Because I hate knitting.